Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
All right, I want to get some help this morning. I'm going to say a phrase, and I want to ask you if you can complete the phrase when I say it. All right, so if you know it, go ahead and help me finish my sentence. Some of you, I know, are experts at finishing people's sentences, and now you actually are doing it with someone's blessing. So this is like a dream come true, I know, for some of you. So if you can finish these sentences for me, feel free to jump right in and help me out this morning. All right? So let's go. If it sounds too good to be true, all right? We make our money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Some of you knew that one. All right. There's no such thing as a free. Well, my answer was lunch, but you're right. There's no such thing as a free ride. I guess that's like a cultural difference of which part of Arkansas we grew up in. There's no gain without. All right. This one sounds really spiritual. By the way, this phrase is not in the Bible. God helps those who. You made your bed, now. You know, everything about our culture says this: you get what you deserve. Right? What we have, what we don't have, is all our fault, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You get what you pay for, is another idiom you might hear said, or you get what you work for. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that way of thinking, especially when it comes to the culture that we live in, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to the work world we live in, when it comes to how we deal with people in certain circumstances. But I'm here to tell you this morning, not only is this true, but I'm actually really grateful that God does not relate to us on the basis of our goodness, but He relates to us on the basis of His goodness. Amen. How many of you know that? Did you know that God does not relate to you on the basis of what you've done right, but rather God relates to us on what He's done right? We're going to start a series this morning simply called Greater Grace. And grace is one of those words that I think probably gets used, I'm not going to say gets used too much, but it might get abused every once in a while, because grace is multifaceted. And not only is it multifaceted, there are times when it seems like what grace does in one situation is actually in opposition to what grace does in another situation. And so I'm going to talk to you the next month on the simple topic of grace. And I want to challenge you, if you have to miss a Sunday, make sure you log on and get the podcast or call the office. I think we can even make a good old-fashioned CD if you'll give us a few days. But I don't want anyone to miss any message of this series, because I believe if you miss a message, you might miss out on a dimension of God's grace. Because God does not, I'm so thankful that God doesn't deal with us how we deserve. God deals with us better than we deserve. Amen. My Sunday school teacher used to give us the Webster's Dictionary version, our definition of grace. And Webster has said for a long time that the definition of grace is simply this: it's God's unmerited favor. You heard that before? That's what grace is. It's God's unmerited favor towards humankind, which simply means we don't get what we deserve. We get what He deserves. We get better than we deserve. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about how we can live in greater grace. And the Lord's going to share with us one dimension of that from His Word in Ephesians chapter 2. So let's look together. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit which is now at work in those who are disobedient. And all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of God's great love for us, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Jesus Christ in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness in us through Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works so that any can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I pray this morning that when we leave this place, we will have a greater understanding of the great grace you have for us. And Lord, that we will not understand it alone, but we would also welcome it. We would participate in it. And we would do what your Spirit says to us to enjoy everything you've prepared for us. So God, I pray this morning, you anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God, the words of God alone, anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise for that. And everybody in the room said amen. So the Apostle Paul is writing by the unction of the Holy Spirit these words about greater grace in our life. And when I read these words about grace, I just have to smile for just a moment, because if there's anyone in God's word who's ever needed a little bit of grace or a whole lot of grace shown towards their life, it was the Apostle Paul. Because before he became Paul, he was known as who? And he made his living, if you were. Matter of fact, you could say beyond his living, he spent his life serving God. Quotes. He wasn't really serving God. He's actually living in opposition to God, but thinking he was serving God. By persecuting the church of Jesus Christ and even killing those who chose to follow Jesus. And yet God showed his wonderful grace to him. When Paul was going 100 miles per hour in the wrong direction, Jesus showed him greater grace. And I'm so thankful to know that when you and I spend our lives going 100 miles per hour in the wrong direction, God still sends his greater grace to us. How many are glad for that this morning? Amen? That his grace is greater than all of our sin. Amen? You know, John Newton penned the words to the song that most of us have known all of our lives, simply called Amazing Grace. And when I think of that song, I think, how else can you describe this greater grace than God has given us than simply amazing? So I want to talk to you this morning about how we can live a life of greater grace. I want to do that from Ephesians chapter 2, the scripture we just read. And if we're going to live this life that takes advantage of greater grace, the first thing we must understand is how much we need greater grace. That's the first thing I want to tell you today. You need greater grace. There's not a person in this room that doesn't need greater grace for their life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, as for you. And that word you, let me give it to you. Let me tell you exactly what that word you means. You ready for it? It means you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. That means you. Some of you said that too forcefully, but that's okay. We'll work on it. You. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. Every one of us in this room, we have one thing in common. Each of us at one point were dead in our sins. Romans chapter 3 says that all have sinned. And the same, let me just give you another lesson real quick. That word all means all. Right? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of you knew that scripture already? I feel like we're too familiar with verse number 23. And we never read on to verse number 24 where it says, but we're all justified freely through his grace. Amen? So here's the thing. We are all great sinners. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Right? I was don't tell my wife this. I know she's right here, but don't tell her. Before service, I was sweeping the floor up here. I don't want her to find out I know how to do that. But this morning, I was sweeping the floor, and Robbie hollered down from the crow's nest up there. He said, Pastor, you're pretty good at that. And I said, well, we all have to be good at something. Let me tell you something we're all good at. We're all good at sinning. I can't remember the day someone came up and said, now, Greg, if you want to learn how to sin, this is how you do it. No one had to teach me or you. We were all just by nature's really good sinners. But here's the good news, friends. As great as our sin was, His grace is still greater. Amen? His grace is still greater. In the scripture, it says, all of us who were by nature, sinners. There's a whole lot of thought in our world today that believes that certain sins are okay because it's in our nature. Well, Pastor, you know, my addiction to alcohol is okay because my dad did it, and my granddad did it, and his granddad did it, and it's just like in our DNA, so it's okay. Well, Pastor, homosexuality is okay because I was born this way. It's in my nature. There's all these different kinds of things that we defend, and we say, well, Pastor, it's in my nature. I got news for you today. All sin is in our nature. But God has not called us to live according to the flesh or according to its desires, but rather God has said, listen, you once were dead in your sins. You were once dead in that nature, but now because of Jesus, we can have a new nature. His grace is greater than all of our sin this morning. And so many times we think, well, this is the way God made me. Well, the way God made you is found in Genesis. He made you perfect and spotless, but we inherited something that was not perfect and was not spotless because through the sin of one man, death entered into every man. Our DNA changed, if you will. Our nature changed, but Jesus came that our nature can be redeemed. Amen? That's greater grace. But in order for us to receive great grace, we've got to first understand our awesome need for grace. Andy Stanley says it like this, and I like the way he put it. He said, God's grace is only as visible as God's truth is clear. It is pointless to tell me I'm forgiven if I'm not sure why I need forgiveness in the first place. And I just want to remind you that the truth is we all need God's grace. We all need God's mending. We all need, it doesn't matter how good people tell you you are. It doesn't matter how good you feel like you may be. Paul learned a lot like I did that sometimes doing the, matter of fact, not sometimes, that all the time, doing the right things does not make us right with God. Some of you in this room, you have a testimony of how your life went south and how you spent years indulging in what the world would call, you know, riotous living, what the world would call, even the world would call, you know, not living correctly. And there's others of us in this room that like me, you were, for whatever reason, you never dabbled in certain sins that the world called evil. I'll never forget the day the Lord showed me that my sin of religiosity and my pride in what I hadn't done was just as ugly as the sin of those who were doing what I prided myself in not doing. You understand? There's not a one of us in this room that hasn't needed or presently need God's grace. Amen? And here's the good thing about God's grace, is God's grace was great before we even came on the scene. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Revelation chapter 3 reminds us from the foundations of the world, even when sin entered into our nature in the book of Genesis, that from the foundation of the world, in other words, before Adam and Eve ever sinned, and we became people who were plagued by this thing called sin, even before then, God had already made plans of a place for us to be redeemed by His grace. Secondly, today, I'm thankful to know that God's grace is not just before me, but God's grace is also with me. The psalmist said in chapter 55 that we can cast our cares upon the Lord and He will sustain us. I'm thankful to know that God has sustaining grace for us today. When you feel like life has thrown me something I can't handle, God's grace can help you go through and be sustained through that season that you don't understand. Megan and I were talking this past week in a conversation in our home about some years of our life that when we look back, we see the trauma of those years, we see the hardship of those years, and we were talking to each other this week about we really don't know how we made it through certain times of our life, but the only explanation doesn't really make sense if you don't understand God's grace, because the only explanation I have is God's grace sustained us. Amen? And here's the good news. God's grace is not just greater than our past, greater than our present, but God's grace is greater than our future. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13 says that the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit and God's grace is in us, and it's a deposit reminding us that until the redemption of those who belong to God, we can have this hope that He will carry us. So point number one this morning is we need to realize, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, we would all be better off if we can just understand that we need God's grace. There's not one of us that is righteous by ourselves. Not one of us. And that's not my opinion. I'm quoting scripture to you right there. Not one of us. We need the help of God. But here's where the news gets a little bit better. Is that this greater grace is received through simple faith. Verse number 8, Ephesians chapter 2, says that it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. Grace comes to us, salvation comes to us through faith. Faith is simply the conduit or the channel for God's grace showing up in our lives. Well, Pastor, how do I have faith in Christ that produces this greater grace in my life? There's two ways. Number one, you just have faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we in Him might become the righteousness of God." The cross of Jesus Christ is where you and I, who were once dead in our sins, who were once far from God, were brought near to God by what Jesus did on the cross. And Matthew 27 reminds us that the moment that Jesus breathed His last breath on the cross, there was a veil that was torn in two in the temple. And that veil represented a separation between God and man. And that separation between God and man had been there since man's very first sin. By the way, when you and I were born in our sinful nature, there was a separation between God and man. Why? Because God is holy and we are not. And for the unholy to enter into the holy is something that's completely impossible. But when Jesus breathed the last breath and He said, "It is finished," that separation between God and man was torn from the top to the bottom. In other words, someone did something for us that we can never do for ourselves. Amen? That's called grace. And we have to have faith that what God did for us is more than enough. And He calls it a free gift. Now, some of you have not been excited at this point about this message, but I'm going to change your attitude real quick. How many of you would like some free money today? Free money. Free money. DeMar, you want some free money? Come up here, all right? I'm going to give you free money. Now, don't tell them what denomination this money is, because they'll lose their excitement.
Razorback money?
No, it's okay. Just... So the Bible says grace is a gift of God through faith. It's a free gift. Just like this dollar. Still excited? I mean, it is a dollar.
I'm nervous.
This dollar is a free gift to you, but you got to take it Now let me ask you something. Did you earn that dollar?
No.
I'm here to tell you, you did not earn that dollar. That's my dollar.
But I'm taking it.
But you're going to take it. All right. So she didn't. All right. She didn't earn it because I know who earned it. I did. But she took it. You know how she took it? She took it through faith. She took it believing that, well, Pastor said I could have it, so it must be for me. Let me tell you something about your salvation through Jesus Christ. If you work any harder for it than she did the dollar, you're missing out on it. That's what grace is. It's free. It's us just believing that what Jesus did was more than enough. Faith is not something we work up. Faith is just our belief in, Lord, what you did on the cross is enough. It's faith that says, Lord, what you did for me, I'll receive. And faith continues by saying, Lord, I'll submit to what you did for me. But faith also says, Lord, I'm going to submit to what you did or what you're doing in me. Faith starts at receiving. And faith continues, and grace continues as we submit. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which Christ prepared for us to do in advance. Philippians chapter 2, Paul added to this thought. He said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, and so now not only in my presence, but much more so in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and in trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and to work his good pleasure. In other words, faith starts as we receive grace through faith. Our grace starts, salvation starts as we receive it freely, but it continues as we, the scripture, work out our salvation. You know, a lot of people misquote the scripture. A lot of people say, work out your own salvation. Stay out of my business. They think work out my own salvation is I get to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and it's no one else's business. When that's not at all where that scripture stops. Right? He said to work it out, number one, with fear and trembling, but to also to work it out knowing that God is working in you. Right? When we receive salvation through faith, through grace, we instantly become right with God, and God instantly begins working in our lives to make things right within us and with other people. And we have to submit to faith is submitting to that grace that God's put in us. Here's thirdly today, is when we receive grace, thirdly this morning, grace changes our story. Our grace paints a better picture, if we will. Verse number 9 says, reminds us that it's not by our works, so that none can boast, but God does change our story. That's what grace does. He changes our story. The cross brought an end to our sin, but the resurrection brought new life for us to live out. And that's what grace does. It changes the life we live. It doesn't just eradicate our sin, but it makes us alive to a new way of living. It changes our story. I was reading about Franklin Roosevelt, who died the day he was having his presidential portrait painted. Came in to work that morning, and he sat, and the artist was painting his portrait, and he took a break for lunch, and he went in to eat his lunch and said, I'm having a pain in my head, and lost consciousness and never woke up, died that same day around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the lady who was painting his portrait, and we've got a picture of it, it's called the Unfinished Painting. She was commissioned to finish it, but she refused. She said, I've captured what I think needs to be captured, and she refused to change it. And there began to be a lot of comparisons about actual photographs that were taken of the president that day and days before in this painting. And people said of her, of the artist, they said, "You've missed the true reflection of him, because the photographs show a man who was aged and weary, and you could just see into his eyes the weight of the world." And she simply responded, "I saw in him something different than what those pictures reflect." She saw someone who was caring and confident and compassionate, not someone who was weary and worn out. That's what, can I tell you, in the same way, that's what grace does for us. God doesn't paint a picture of our life compared to what our brokenness is. He doesn't paint a picture of us according to how our mess ups are, what our failures are. He doesn't paint a picture of our lives according to how weary we get. But rather, Jesus changes our story by his grace. Instead of painting what is, he paints what can be and what should be by his grace. Friends, I don't know what life has done to you, but I know this: God can paint a better picture of your story this morning if you'll submit to his grace today. God is in the story-changing business. And last this morning, is grace positions us for greater relationships. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13 says, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ himself is our peace, our brought peace. He united Jews and Gentile into one people in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." Grace, greater grace, I'm thankful it makes us right with God. I'm thankful it takes us who are far away and makes us one with Christ. But grace does more than that. In Galatians chapter 3, it says that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for we are all one through Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 says there is one body and there is one spirit, just as you and I have been called into one glorious hope of the future. Can I tell you, the grace of Jesus Christ doesn't just break down the sin barrier, it breaks down human barriers as well. Amen? There's no such thing as classes, racial classes, ethnic classes, financial classes. None of that stands up in the kingdom of God, friends. Listen, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. That's what the grace of Jesus Christ does in our life. That's not just a song we sing in children's church. That is what grace does for us. It doesn't just, listen, grace is not just greater than our sin. Grace is greater than the barriers our sin has created throughout humanity. Amen? Grace doesn't just change who I am with Christ. It changes who I am and who we are with each other. And let me just take a step further this morning. I know you know this, I know you believe this, but I want to be faithful to God's word and say it anyway. The moment we reject another person on their ethnicity, upon their background, upon the color of their skin, upon their experience, is a moment we ourselves are limiting the grace of God that he's wanting to put in our lives. Amen? The grace of God doesn't just separate us, or doesn't just heal the separation between us and God. It heals the separation between people. And we need God's grace to heal the hurts between one another today. We need God's grace to help heal the hurts between those that we've loved and even those we've never met before. We need the grace of God, and it's greater than the differences that are between us. Today I'm going to ask Megan to come. And I want to ask you, are you living a life that is receiving greater grace? And I want to ask you to bow your heads as I just ask a couple of questions. Not for my sake to know the answer to, but just so that we can be honest with the Lord this morning. The first question I want to ask this morning is, have you accepted the greater grace that God has for you? Have you accepted His grace when it comes to salvation through Jesus Christ? We all are sinners that have to be saved by grace. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. And before salvation can begin, we have to see the need we have of God. I'm going to preach about this, I think, in 3 Sundays from now, where Jesus once made the statement that he who is forgiven much loves much. And that scripture bothered me for a long time because I thought, Lord, I really haven't done that much bad. Actually, my problem wasn't that I hadn't done much bad. My problem was I hadn't recognized the whole lot of bad I'd done. Part of coming to Christ is we have to understand, we have to see our need for Him. We have to realize that, you know, without Christ, all of us are lost. All of us are in need of God's help. All of us have an empty hole inside of our hearts that only God can fill. And this morning, I've been preaching about grace, and maybe you don't know the definition. Maybe you don't know the biblical understanding of it. I'm not sure that any of us do perfectly, but besides what you understand and you don't understand, you know that the Spirit of God is telling you this morning, listen, you need to receive fresh and new, or perhaps for the first time, the grace that comes through faith. You need to experience salvation. You need to give your life, commit your life to Jesus. Listen, it's not some big work we do. It's a great work that He's already done.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.